Well, as we hit the midpoint of our first weekend here in September, we're bringing back some good friends that you hear from often here on the award-winning For the People. AARP, this segment is going to be the next in installment in our Your Voice, Your Vote series leading up to Election Day 2024. And we're bringing in John Erlinghauser, who is the Senior Advocacy Director for AARP Connecticut, because voters 50 and over are the majority of participants in every election, and they're really stretched to the limit. They want to see politicians addressing their day-to-day challenges, like caring for their loved ones and protecting their hard-earned Social Security, and that's why AARP is fighting to get the right people in the right places to do the right things. AARP has a long history of advocacy and voter engagement. They fight to get candidates, regardless of party, to offer solutions to the issues that matter to voters 50 plus and their families. And they want to make sure they're at the top of the candidate's agenda if they get elected. So, John, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, John, it's always a pleasure to be with you.
So, let's first remind people about this fantastic resource, and while this is part of the vast AARP network, it also keys in to things going on in Connecticut. You guys have a dedicated web presence just for Connecticut voters, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We for the last several election cycles now, we maintain an accurate web page. AARP.org/CTVotes. And on that page, it has every resource you can think of about how to vote. We connect to all the appropriate sites, like all the sites in the Secretary of State's webpage, everything in a one-stop shop. So you can find out details and deadlines for registering, same-day registration, where to look and see, you know, if you were registered. In fact, before the interview, I said, you know, let me check. And I was able to go right in there, put my name, town, and date of birth, and it links me right up to the Secretary of State's site and verify that my voter registration is still in effect and up to date. So it also tells you about all the new changes, so many changes in election law over the last several years in Connecticut, like the fact that this is going to be the first election where we'll have 2 weeks of in-person early voting. You can find out all the information about that, how to register if you're not, how to get an absentee ballot. So it's a great site. It's AARP.org/CTVotes. So it's AARP.org/CTVotes. And one-stop shop for everything you need to know about voting in Connecticut.
So John, from your perspective, what are some of the things you're hearing from Connecticut constituents and AARP members that they're worried about or that they're concerned about with some of these brand new changes, not just to the process that they'll be participating in, but to the potential change in the process they'll be weighing in on as a constitutional question on every ballot at every polling place in Connecticut?
Yeah, I mean, so again, we have expanded absentee balloting in Connecticut. This is the second major cycle where there is an expansion of absentee balloting. So, for example, in the past, there were only very defined things that allowed you to vote by absentee ballot. There still are, but the one area where there's an expansion in absentee voting, meaning you can vote by mail with a paper ballot, is under the guise of sickness. In previous years, you know, if you said you were sick, it had to be you who were sick. But because of the work of AARP and others, that law definition was expanded to say not only is it if you're sick and can't vote and need to vote by absentee ballot, but it's the sickness of another. So if you're a caregiver, for example, and you're taking care of a loved one, significant other, a parent, child, and you can't get away from those caregiving duties to go vote, you now are eligible to vote by absentee ballot. Also, we have now 2 full weeks of in-person early voting. So every municipality, 3 in the state of Connecticut, 169 cities and towns, have at least 1 in-person voting location, usually at your town hall, where there'll be fixed hours. And Those will include evening and weekend hours to help those that might be caregivers who want to get out and vote, have some respite, or who work in New York City, let's say, all day during the week. So people will be able to go and vote in person, very safe and secure. You vote in town hall, you vote by paper ballot. It gets sealed up like an absentee ballot, and then you deposit it in the town hall, in the location, by a in a secure ballot box supervised by the Register of Voters. So those are just some of the important changes, but very, very important ones. And again, you know, AARP.org/CTVote, you can find out about all of those. Then on the other part of your question, John, is there'll be another change on the ballot this November. And AARP worked to make sure this question went up on the ballot. And that's to give people the ability to have what we call no excuse absentee balloting. That's to say, if you want to vote by absentee ballot for any reason at all or no reason, and you just feel like you want to vote by mail, or you want to get a ballot by mail and you want to drop it off in a secure ballot drop box at your town hall, you can just do it because you want to. So in essence, you know, the yes vote would allow the constitutional prohibition against that to be removed, and then it would set up the legislature to promulgate laws and rules as to how no excuse absentee balloting would work. And no vote would mean status quo, and you would have to have one of those enumerated excuses as to why you want to vote absentee balloting. So, you know, a yes vote would just kind of give one more ability for voters to vote at a way that may be convenient for them. So big things happening in Connecticut when it comes to voting. And we if it passed, we'd join about 36 other states that have this kind of no excuse or, you know, paper balloting by mail. Again, I should point out, if you do have a no excuse absentee balloting, it would still be a two-step process. The state would never just mail ballots out. You would have to fill out an application and request a ballot. So it's very secure here in the state of Connecticut.
We're also hearing a lot about staffing challenges and a lot of disinformation or misinformation that might be circulating around. As a matter of fact, Stephanie Thomas, Connecticut Secretary of the State, was on our program for the second part of an interview segment last week. And she was talking about how she is so concerned about artificial intelligence and bad actors who are perpetrating social network messaging, text campaigns, email campaigns, and telephone campaigns that are she's concerned about, and people should rest assured that if they want to go old school and just show up at the polls on election day, that they should not be dissuaded by what might be some unscrupulous individuals trying to keep them from their constitutional privilege.
You know, John, that's absolutely right. And always use a verified source of information for anything about anything important, like voting, like the Secretary of State's office, your local Registrar of Voters office. You can always come to AARP to find out information. But again, yes, you know, we advocate for an expansive process for people as possible. But absolutely, if people, you know, we don't encourage people to vote one method or another. We want people to know and be aware of all the methods. And certainly voting on election day, November 5th, between the hours of 6 a.m. and 8 p.m. at the polling location with which you're registered is certainly a safe and secure and definite option for folks. And we would encourage people to vote, and we would encourage people to just make sure they are verified about where they're supposed to vote, and that they exercise their franchise. That's what we're all about. And again, we want to make sure, you know, they're voting on the issues that matter the most to them.
Very good. We appreciate you giving us all of that information. We're going to turn our attention to issues after we give John a few moments of a break here. John Erlinghauser with us. He is the Senior Advocacy Director for AARP Connecticut. You can learn all you need to know by going to aarp.org/CTVotes to get refreshed on a lot of the information information you're going to be hearing us talk about this morning. In the event, you know, you're still a little bleary-eyed early Sunday morning, or you're driving or getting ready for church or making breakfast or what have you. So we'll give John a break and turn our attention to a very, very incredible event that's coming in to Connecticut's only zoo. There's always something wild happening at the Beardsley Zoo, and it's official. The Glow Wild Lantern Festival is returning to Connecticut's Beardsley Zoo for its third year. Tickets are now available for this illuminating event, which will run from September 26th through December 15th on Thursday through Sunday evenings. This vibrant festival will light up the zoo grounds with all new lanterns this year. Guests of all ages will be amazed by over 50 massive illuminated sculptures and interactive displays. I have attended this event. It is breathtaking. From toddlers getting wheeled around in their little carriages on up to anyone who wants to really take in this unique and incredible display. A limited number of tickets might be available at the gate depending on capacity, but you can be assured of getting in to view this incredible exhibit by buying your timed ticket, which you can get online right now just by going to beardsleyzoo.org/glowwild. We are back with John Erlinghauser from AARP Connecticut. So, John, we've talked a little bit about making sure votes get counted, as well as the constitutional question everybody will be considering on Election Day or leading up to it. Let's focus on a few of the issues that you are also looking at this year, and why perhaps you are not endorsing, perhaps, but why you are looking at specific candidates, and certainly, you know, questioning them and keeping them on point in regards to things like caregiving.
Yeah, absolutely, John. And, you know, as a nonprofit 501c4 organization, we don't endorse candidates, but what we do is advocate for issues. And our objective is to make sure that no matter who gets elected, they support the issues that matter the most to the 50 plus population. Because like you said in your opening, you know, the voters age 50 and up pretty much decide every election that takes place in the state of Connecticut and across the country. So we're fighting to make sure that candidates talk about the issues that matter, like caregiving and Social Security. So as an example, in the United States, there are 48 million family caregivers. And those are people that, you know, everybody thinks caregiver, you think, well, taking care of an elderly parent, but it might not just be that. It might be somebody who takes care of a child, a spouse, a loved one, a significant other. So those are people that are really, really critical. And in fact, in this across the nation, unpaid family caregivers account for $600 billion with a B dollars of unpaid labor for folks across the country. So, you know, you look at your life, you either are a caregiver, know a caregiver, have been a caregiver, or are being cared for. So if this isn't the top issue that people should really be focusing on, I don't know what is. And we really encourage candidates to look at that issue, come up with creative solutions, and really address this. Because again, if it were left to the government and government support, you know, we're talking about that $600 billion in labor alone. So it's an important issue, and we really, really want to make sure candidates address it.
Very good. Social Security was something else that was mentioned as being an acute concern of particularly the AARP demographic, but certainly there are millions and millions of other Americans who also rely on benefits from the Social Security Administration.
You know, absolutely. I was a dependent of my father retired while I was still in high school. I was the youngest of six kids. And so we relied on Social Security when I was still in high school based on my father's age and being eligible. So I know how important Social Security is to those that are living on the edge. And, you know, we're in a position right now where there are so many people that rely on Social Security, and if we don't make changes to Social Security in the next 10 years, we're looking at a 20% across the board cut, which is on average $4,000 a year that people will be facing if we don't address the problem. And again, going back to, you know, your opening of the issue segment, if we don't get people to work across the aisle and come up with solutions for that, it's going to be costly for folks. And, you know, there is not a Democratic or Republican answer to this. You know, it's got to be everybody working together, because there's not one silver bullet that will solve this problem. It's going to take a multitude of issues, a multitude of solutions together that is going to solve this problem. Because again, I can't stress enough, and most people just don't understand that if we do nothing in a 10-year period of time, the system isn't going to go broke. It's not going to cease to exist. People will still get checks, but we're looking at a 20% cut across the board for everybody on Social Security, on average amounting to approximately $4,000 a year. So really, people have to think about that. And, you know, again, it's kind of like the, you know, third rail of politics. And you know, when you look at both caregiving and Social Security, these are the things that are keeping people's heads above water. So, you know, politicians who don't address these issues do it at their own peril, because, again, you know, they both impact the voter age 50 and older more than any other issues. And, you know, they're going to be watching to see what candidates say and do on these issues and whether or not they're even making them a priority at all.
And one of the ways that AARP is working to ensure that folks understand both the issues and the process is by aligning with demographics way beyond the 55 and over segment. John, AARP is building some great relationships with communities of color, with the LGBTQ plus community. Explain for a few moments why crossing into partnerships and collegial relationships with a number of other interest groups is so critical for AARP to be able to accomplish what it needs to do.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's important for us to really reach out to all communities and not just one monolith of people. AARP, you know, we have almost 600,000 members in Connecticut. We have almost 40 million nationwide. And so, you know, when you think about it, there are all kinds of groups that represent the interest of different segments of the population, but we represent all people age 50 and older. So, you know, it's important for us to get out and to, you know, appeal to people who, you know, about these issues, whether they're African American, Hispanic, Latino, LGBTQ populations. You know, these issues impact all of them, and some of them are impacted even greater. So, you know, we go out to these different communities and we talk to them about these issues, and they talk to us about how critical it is to have, you know, caregiver supports or how much they rely on Social Security. Mm-hmm. So we talk to them, we engage with them, and they are on board with our issues. And again, these issues are issues that cut across all political spectrums and all demographics. So, you know, we'll continue to do that important work, John.
Very good. In the last few minutes that we have with you, John, let's flash back to our post-legislative session interview and remind our listeners a little bit about why it's so important to get to know their statewide candidates on the ballot and to cast their votes for those candidates that they believe in. AARP goes to Hartford every year with an agenda. There's wins, there's losses, there's issues that may gain traction that will have better success in future years. What are a couple of the key issues that will be coming back to the State House here in Hartford in January that AARP is looking at to help inform voters as they are maybe meeting and questioning and chatting with or receiving correspondence from candidates that are running to represent them in Hartford?
Oh, you know, absolutely, John, and I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, so, you know, we've done so much at the federal level, made so many great strides on containing the cost of prescription drugs, when the $2,000 cap on out-of-pocket expenses takes place in January, as well as our work to allow Medicare to negotiate the cost of prescription drugs. But, you know, we can do so much more at the state level, and we weren't so successful in this past session on advancing legislation on affordable prescription drugs, like a prescription drug affordability board, as well as importation of drugs from Canada. So that certainly will be on the agenda as well. And we also want to make sure we make some more strides when it comes to the MyCT Savings Program, which is a program that allows people of all ages to save for retirement at work. You know, where there is currently no pension or 401k, it helps induce folks to save by allowing them to save in a Roth IRA account. There's still way too many businesses that aren't participating in the program, so we want to make sure that happens. We want to continue to fight the movement to advance what's called earned wage access loans, which is basically just a payday loan by another name with usurious interest rates attached to them that really just keep people in a cycle of debt. So, you know, and then again, certainly something that's, you know, near and dear to my heart, but also in the news lately, is addressing the high cost of utilities in the state of Connecticut. That's something that I've been working on my entire time in Connecticut, and we've had some success. We've also had some issues, and it's a very complicated thing. So, you know, there's what I call the unintended consequences of making changes. You have to make sure if you make changes, you're actually helping and not hurting, because too often in the utility space, we make changes and make things worse. So again, those are just some of the issues that we're going to try to tackle next year. But you're absolutely right to frame it in the sense that look at what your candidates for state office are saying in Connecticut about these issues, and then make sure, you know, they're actually even talking about them, because those are the things we hear about in Connecticut from our members, and they're going to be the issues that I know the folks age 50 and older are going to vote upon when it comes to Election Day on November 5th.
Very good. John Erlinghauser is AARP Connecticut's Senior Advocacy Director. We covered a lot of ground this morning, and very much appreciate all of the information and guidance that is available to anyone here by going to aarp.org/CTVotes. They have a fantastic website with all kinds of guidance and information for you if you missed any of the points that we covered here this morning. John, very much appreciate your time, and best of luck as we move into and through November 5th.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th, and every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran, or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.